You're now listening to The Computer Doctor Show with Aaron Moss on 1030 The Voice.
Hello, Tucson. You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life. I'm Aaron Moss, your host and office tech expert. Good to have you with us every Saturday at 2 p.m. right here on KVOI 1030 The Voice. We have our open lines at 520-790-2040. Feel free to call in anytime with your comments and questions. Again, that number is 520-790-2040. On the show today, tips on how to weed out fake news from social media, TV, radio, and internet. We spoke to some local Tucsonians of how they determine if news is fake or not. Highlights of the tech news released this week: Yale University is checking number two. That's number two as in poop, sewage, that is. They've assembled a team of researchers to find evidence of COVID-19 by way of sewer. If you want to know how to detour your trip around COVID-19 hotspots, just check Google Maps. New features on the app can help steer you away from your chances of contact. Voting machines in Georgia are failing to do their job. Software and hardware failures contributed to voters waiting 3 to 5 hours in some areas to cast their vote with understaffed and underperforming machines. Downdetector.com, powered by Ookla, reported a major cell phone outages across the country during the month of June. The carrier hit the hardest is T-Mobile. Others include AT&T and Verizon. To detect if there is an outage in your area, go to downdetector.com. There's been a lot of talk about what matters, states of matters, that is, solid, liquids, and gases. These are states of matter that we're familiar with, but there's also plasma, which is considered a fourth state, and a fifth state of matter was observed in space last Thursday. We'll get some information about that. With more and more people getting their news from social media, and with more and more news networks publishing stories online, the question becomes, how can you tell if it's fake news or not? Now, we're living in the internet and information age. Some have called it the misinformation age, and some even to the extreme of deep fakes, where video and audio can be altered to go viral. It can be hard to determine what is real and what is fake. During the week, we're able to speak to some Tucsonians about how they determine what is fake and what is not. Let's listen.
I don't know how you know if anything's true, quite honestly. You check your sources, but other than that.
It's on the internet.
If it's what?
Dad?
Yeah.
It's on the internet, so it has to be real. Okay. But so you got that one website. What's it called? Spoofcer.
Okay.
So you can check and see.
So we were able to speak to some of these people during the week. A lot of them had different ideas of how they take their fake news and or determine if it is fake or true. Now, a lot of people, what people had to say is to check the source and only relying on sources that are reliable, sources of news that you've come to trust, as one gentleman had put it. And what tends to happen is once you have this one source of news, you begin to trust it more. But what happens on the internet sometimes with the advent of social media is that there's all these sensational news things, and journalism has changed even a bit. Now that everyone has a camera on their phone, almost anybody can shoot footage, and anybody can add their own commentary to that footage and upload it for the world to see. But these things are not always accurate. Fake news is nothing new, as old as the printing press, as some have even expressed. I can tell you a personal experience that several years ago, I ran across a YouTube video. It was about a real-life Assyrian stairwell. And the Assyrian stairwell, it's a concept that many of us have seen pictures of it. It's a picture of a stairwell that looks like it's going up stairs on one side, and the other side is also going upstairs, but the two platforms are level so that you can always keep on going up the stairs, but you'll always end up in the same place where you started, almost like you're going in a circle. Although you're going upstairs, you're ending up at the same place where you started. So this, there was a very, very well deep fake video that I saw for the first time. And for a period of several years, I actually believed that this thing actually existed. It was said that it was in the University of Boston. Now, my wife and I, we were thinking about taking a trip over to New York last year, and we did. And I was trying to get one of the things that I really wanted to do was I wanted to take a little trip up to Boston and actually find this Assyrian stairwell, just like in the video, and I wanted to examine it. I wanted to see how it worked, how it's possible for you to go up the stairs and still be at the same spot where you began without coming back down the stairs. So the time was coming where we were planning for the trip, and I started doing some more research on that video. Turned out it was already a debunked video, and there were other videos that shows how it was debunked. Now, in the end, I was actually pretty disappointed, but I must say for about a year, I really thought that it was true. What really makes a good internet deception is the supportive dialogue that supports the story. But when the lie is seemingly supported by other sources, it makes it very, very believable. In the case of the Assyrian stairwell story that that I actually believed, there were actually other videos at the time that looked like they were uploaded by different people that also experienced the Assyrian stairwell. And I did other research online, and there seemed to be all of these reports that were supporting this video. So how could it have all of this support but still be a fake? Well, that's easy. The people that make these fake reports, they also create all of the dialogue and all of the natural resources that people would go to check. For example, if you wanted to create a fake news article, what you would do is you would create all the resources that point to this deepfake, and then you would publish the deepfake. So after people seeing this news article that is fake, what will people normally do when they are checking to see if it's true? They're going to go out and they're going to Google and see what other sources are. And guess what? There are other sources out there. There are other sources that support it because they put it there. They put it out there to be found. One of the things that, after that whole situation, I realized that I had to be a little bit more lenient with how well even I believe the news that I came. For example, when I first heard that Kobe Bryant had died at the beginning of this year, I heard that from one source, and I was like, oh, well, this must be a fake. This must be a trick to get me to click onto something. But then I heard it on, I saw it on social media first, and then I saw it on some of the TV news later. And I was like, oh my goodness, well, this actually really did happen. So we kind of have to take news that we hear either as fake or not fake, but we really have to check our sources. And that's what a lot of the Tysonians that we spoke to this week had expressed. One gentleman even mentioned that that his father taught him to only believe half of what people tell you and then double check the other half. And also always having a good source of places where you've known for a long time to give good and accurate information. Forbes magazine published an article about how the next generation can determine fake news: Generation X, Millennials, Generation Y, Generation Z. Some of the suggestions that were made, again, were to check the history and reputation of the author and the publication. So that was made clear with even within the interview. Also, determine whether the outlets are reporting the same news. So if you see or hear something from one news outlet, But they're the only ones carrying that story, and you see it no place else. See, now we have to be a little bit more wary. Another tip is to be very leery of sensational headlines. And the reason why we want to do that is because ad copy is a teachable skill. There are people that actually pay lots of money to learn how to write really good headlines and really good ad copy. It's something that's taught. It's something that's designed to stand out. And it even taps into your emotional interests, where if you see certain buzzwords, you're almost feeling inclined to click on it onto your social media. You want to click on it when you see it coming up in a feed. So just because they use these sensational headlines is not a reason for you to actually go ahead and start believing everything that's behind that click. You also want to scrutinize photos, the article also brought out. Just because a photo comes up, obviously, people can manipulate photos with Photoshop and other editors. And just because you see a photo doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. Now, the other thing is we want to consider the motives. We want the you have to think about why is this news person why is this person who's posting this story, why are they even posting it? Okay. Is there a reason why they're posting it? And we can think about if there's some sort of alternative motive or there's some other agenda that person wants to go. We do have a caller, but we're going to go to a commercial break. Up next on the Computer Doctor Show, the tech news that was released this week, then our specialist spotlight. You're listening to the Computer Doctor Show, and we'll be right back after this quick break. Stay tuned.
When your car breaks down, who can you call? The local mechanic. Timing belt, brakes, and tune-ups? Who can you call? The local mechanic. When you don't have time for vehicle service, who can come to you? The local mechanic. Keep your car running at its best with honest, reliable, and even mobile services at the local mechanic. Call 771-5191 or visit their website, thelocalmechanictucson.com.
Solar is popping up all over town. Why? Because solar just makes sense. Say goodbye to expensive summer electricity bills. Call or text Julie Festerling at Icon Power, 520-307-1013. Avoid the new 7.9% price increase with the utility company. Call Julie at 520-307-1013. Icon Power will help you take control of your electric bill.
Perfect Look Photography is a photography business that serves individuals, families, wedding parties, children's parties, quinceañeras, and family reunions. We also do headshots for actors and model portfolios. We photograph all types of events in Tucson and communities in Pima and Santa Cruz counties. In addition, we provide more types of photos than any photographer in Tucson, including green screen, art photography, montages, and DVD slideshows. We provide great photos at great prices. For more information or to get a quote, please call 499-4209.
Ugly Goose Car Rental is new in Tucson, providing a low-cost auto rental alternative for just $100 per week. The only catch? The cars are ugly, but very safe and reliable to get you to work, school, shopping, and all your important appointments. To reserve your $100 a week car rental, call Ugly Goose Car Rental at 520-261-0439. Again, 520-261-0439.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
And welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show. Here is some tech news that broke this week, and then we'll get to our caller. Nicole Westman with The Verge reports that Yale University, it was checking number two. That's number two as in poop sewage, that is. They've assembled a team of researchers to find evidence of COVID-19 by way of sewer. Their chemical and environmental efforts report if someone is infected with the virus, it shows up in their feces even before they might feel sick. This type of research gives the public health officials another layer of data for tracking. The sludge, use your imagination there, or samples are collected from a treatment plant and reports the virus levels to the city once a week. They soon recognized a pattern that when virus levels went up in the sewage readings, new cases of COVID-19 went up a week later. So it's understood that it is an early warning sign and that can even project the trajectory of the outbreak. Cities that are using the technique include New Haven, Connecticut, and Carmel, Indiana. Google reports on its official blog that Google Maps, the app version on iPhone and Android, updated features that include if your trip is affected by COVID-19. It bases its information on relative alerts from the local transit authorities with the idea of planning around affected areas so that the highlights of the COVID-19 checkpoints can be avoided. Restrictions and testing facilities are also included. Similar features were also rolled out last February that informs public transportation riders with how crowded buses and trains are before they board. Voters in Georgia have waited in line for 3 to 5 hours during the primary elections due to software failure of the voting machines. The system detected unregistered votes and 20 votes on scanned ballot images that the system did not record. The machines consisting of a touchscreen and scanned paper ballots has failures in another county. 30 out of 300 votes were flagged and not marked by the system. Many absentee ballots that never arrived in the mail that contributed to the long lines. This was a $120 million voting system that had replaced another older voting system after a federal judge ordered that that system be scrapped due to being outdated and untrustworthy. So just like the rest of us, keeping your tech can just be, or updating your tech can be just an exchange of one set of problems for another. This is the portion of the show we'd like to take some questions from our callers. We have Nancy on the line. Nancy, are you there?
I am here, yes.
Hi, welcome to the Computer Doctor Show. What's your question?
My question is that Windows 10 seems to do automatic updates in the night when I'm asleep, and I get up in the morning and my whole system is different, and I have to relearn something, or I don't know. Is it possible to stop that or delete it or do something.
Okay. Now, this is a very, very important question because the real question is update. So the quick answer to your question, yes, it's possible, but there's going to be a strong caution there of whether or not you really, really want to do that. Here's the reason why. Windows 10, the way it's structured, it's and this is true of more and more operating systems that roll out both both on laptops, desktops, mobile devices. They all are built with this inert desire to have to be connected to the internet. And if you disconnect it or you find some way to stop it from doing its updates, you may think that your computer is going to run better or more stably. And that might be better in some applications, but for the majority of us, it's probably better that you keep them turned on, but you may have to change the feature or you may have to change the settings in such a way that first it will ask you permission to install the updates instead of just doing it automatically. Okay. I've had people, a lot of my customers, call in or even just call me on the phone during the week, and ask that that the updates be shut off. But what we have to caution them with is a lot of the programs, a lot of the apps, both the apps and tiles that are on Windows 10, along with the legacy applications, the old-fashioned actual programs that are running on the computer, a lot of them have programming that require them to have access to the internet so that they can check for updates and automatically update on by themselves. A lot of people don't know this. One of the ways that we troubleshoot computers is we try to find out when a problem first started. And what we're starting to see is a lot of times we can line up when problems start with updates. Now, when Microsoft releases these updates, they only test it on only a certain types of machines. They don't do it for any type of machine that's out there that might be running Windows 10. They concentrate on the latest models, but if you have a computer that's a little bit older that was updated from Windows 7 to Windows 10, and it's not really considered like late model or anything that's still supported by the manufacturer, what they'll do is they'll make the updates good for those new products and not the older ones. So if you have an older one, that's the one that you're probably experiencing the most problems with. How old is your computer that you're working on? How long have you had it?
About 5 years old.
About 5 years old. So that's right around the cut. You said it was a Dell?
Mm-hmm.
So when you buy a brand new computer, you know, usually they'll include some sort of support, you know, 6 months, a year. I know with Dell, anything beyond 1 or 2 years, there is an extra service that you can buy where you can have product support extended, you know, for 3, 4, 5, sometimes even longer than that, where if an update doesn't work, you can just call them and then they can handle that. But in the case of Dell, and in the case, I suppose in your case, if you want your computer to be running problem-free, which is not always possible, if you want it to really be running problem-free, which is I think is what you're getting at, you're trying to stop
updates, because I have to relearn whatever changes they've made, and mm-hmm. then that delays whatever work I'm trying to do on the computer.
Right. Now, if you don't mind me asking, what do you do for a living? Like, what do you use your computer for?
I'm a writer.
Okay. And you use Microsoft
Office,
Word or Office something?
Microsoft to the Office. Yeah,
okay, it's do your writing. So for those that are authors, because I actually have several customers that that write books, I'm a published author as well. One thing that you want to keep in mind is when you start writing the book, all the way to when you're ending the book, it's very, very important that you stay within the same system or the same platform or the same exact program. Now, Microsoft Office, for example, you know, you have 2003, 2007, 2010, 2013, then there's 365, 2016, and 2019. So if you started, for example, on 2016 version, you want to keep that exact same version throughout the entire process of your of writing the book, okay? Because if you do an update in the middle, you're going to miss all of your margins. You're going to miss all of you.
Mm-hmm. I don't do the update. Windows does, and they're the ones that change it. So
yeah, right. So What you can do is you can set your computer so that it does not update that program. Because if that's your bread and butter on that, on using that software,
it is.
That is something that you don't want to be touched. It's okay to update other parts of the computer, but that particular software cannot be changed because, you know, writing a book can take some time. But thank you very much for your call, Nancy. We just have just under a minute left. We would like to thank our guests and those that participated in the show today, as well as our sponsors, Icon Power, Local Mechanic, Perfect Looks Photography, and Ugly Goose Car Rental. Please do business with them. They are local, and they help to keep this show on the air. If you missed any part of this broadcast or messages from our sponsors or liked any of the content you heard on this episode, you can find our show online at computerdoctorshow.com to re-listen to the show and previous shows. Remember, the world is getting more and more tech, and so should you. My name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert. Tom Fairbanks is in the control board, and this has been the Computer Doctor of Show every Saturday at 2 p.m. broadcasting on KVOI 1030, The Voice. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Talk to you again next week.